You love the titillation of the flesh and that little bit of pleasure for a moment. And that's the very thing that's keeping you from trusting and calling on the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. You love your sin. You love the world. You don't want to be a Christian out and out for Christ because it'll cost you the world. Let me say, any gospel that doesn't cost you the world is not the gospel. And there are churches and so-called evangelists today proclaiming messages that tell people you can have your sin and have Christ, but that is not the gospel. And so here is personal humility.
As always, I welcome you to our program, Let the Bible Speak, from the Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. And as I take this opportunity to bring the Word of God, God's message to you, I want to thank you for being a part of this program. I hope day by day at this time, and that you will stay tuned with us. Thankful to the Lord also for the opportunity to take this message across Canada on a number of different radio stations here in Greater Vancouver, in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, in Toronto, and in the Maritimes. For the various stations that carry our program, we are very thankful. And also in Calgary, we have this opportunity to minister God's Word day by day, Monday to Friday at this time. So I hope that you will be in touch and be a helper to us by prayer and by your encouragement. And if the Lord should move you to support, we would be very thankful. And I trust that God will use His Word in your own heart and in your own life. Now, today again, I'm going to read the letter I have sent to our Prime Minister on medical assistance in death being extended in this country. That's the move that is on. Just recently, they had a questionnaire that was to be used by Canadians within a 2-week window, and it quickly ended on January 27th, giving very, very little time, actually, for people to respond. And then I also noticed by the questions that they were more a feeler questions rather than taking the safe position of what I call the Hippocratic position, where medical people are undertake to do no harm, which is contrary to hastening death, especially when we're talking about people who are not at the very end of life, but perhaps have struggles and poor lesser quality of life, even those who have medical mental problems. So we'll get to that at the end of the program. I trust you'll stay tuned. And if you like what you hear in that, you can go to the website, read it again, hear it again, even download it. And I trust that God will use this in your own life. Now, the message today is on evangelism. We're taking our cue from John the Baptist and the ministry of humility. And as we go to John chapter 1, we find that this man, John, well, he's the one who said that he wasn't worthy to unloose the very laces of the Savior's shoes. And John was marked with this great humility. He said, I must decrease, but Christ must increase. And that was his focus, to honor and exalt the Lord Jesus. And of course, that has to be the core value of our evangelism, that we honor the Lord Jesus no matter what, and we take the consequences, and we are willing to take the outfall of presenting the Lord Jesus winningly, joyfully, and truly. And I hope that today you'll stay tuned as we come now to the pulpit message on John the Baptist ministering the gospel with humility.
And when the church ceases to preach the message of repentance to the world, she has lost her message. She's worried about the messenger or worried about her image, who are you, and forgotten the content of the message. And as evangelists, if we witnesses for Christ, we are to take that place. Are we ready to die to all self-ambitions, self-importance, to practically bear the cross and the shame, to be living witnesses for the Lord? And again I say it, enemy number one to evangelism is our pride. And until you pray that pride out of your heart, until you get serious about your guarding your name and your reputation, and you're willing to lay that on the altar and die to who you are in the eyes of this world, you will not be an effective messenger for the Lord. And it is that humility, that brokenness, that emptiness of self that will make us effective. Because let's face it, how can you sit beside someone and talk to them about their sin in a proud manner? You can't do it. You can't do it. You'll be called a hypocrite. But when you sit beside someone and you tell them of your own need of the Lord's grace and pardon, that you are yourself but a sinner saved by grace, and that you are yourself empty and broken and worthless, then you can begin to talk that the Lord can do for you what He's done for me. His grace is able to transform you and to save you and bring you to the cross. That's where we need to be, the place of humility, that we might be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And until the church, and I speak now of total congregations, the church takes the place of humility before a needy world, we lose our voice. We have no witness. That's why we pray for the world. That's why we lament and confess the sins of this nation. We are not just sitting in judgment of Canada. We are seeking to be a light to souls in darkness. And we can look down our nose at our leaders and see their errors and their sin. We can look at the people, how they're vulnerable and readily they get on the bandwagon of iniquity and take a newspaper clip and cry out how horrible. But that is not going to make us evangelists. That is not going to make us salt and light. It is our humility, our willingness to confess our own sin and to see what sin is doing. Then we cry repentance and call men and women to turn to God with all their hearts. That's the spirit in which we need to witness, and we learn this from John the Baptist. As we go down this chapter to verse 25, you'll notice that we need personal humility. That first major point was practical humility. Now we see personal humility. Look at verse 25. They asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. And here you will see John's interest in honoring the Lord. And he issued a very gracious, but yet a very hard-hitting rebuke. The Christ sent by God is right here. He's amongst us, and you don't even recognize him. And of course, that was the Pharisaical spirit. That was the condemnation of the ungodly Jews. They were the clergy. They were of the temple in Jerusalem. They were of the institutions of learning. But they had a terrible blind spot. They did not know Christ. How many religious institutions could we apply that to today? They have their credentials of learning, they have their ecclesiastical polity, but they know not Christ. John the Baptist, his burden was to preach to them the Lord Jesus. John was sent to prepare the way to Christ. His crying in the wilderness, his baptizing, his call to repentance was all about preparing the way that men would long. Who is our Savior then? How can we be saved? And John was not afraid to preach against sin. In fact, he got himself into mortal trouble. He headed to jail, and then he lost his head because he preached against Herod's sin. He was calling men to repentance. And we have to recognize that there's always a cost when we preach against the sins of this world. And if we take the example and the role of John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, then we're going to preach the Ten Commandments. Those 10 fingers that point at sinners about their breaking God's law. That's the message. That's the burden. That's the call to repentance. And so I must not allow you to enjoy the vices and the sins of this world. I encourage you in that. I am no John the Baptist, and I'm no evangelist. I'm no witness, no help to lead you to Christ. But rather, I must call you to see the wrath of God upon sin, to hate that sin, and to yearn to be right with God and to know and serve Him. And I must preach to you that the only way to get right with a holy God is through repentance. Confess your sin. Lament over your sin. Cry to God for deliverance from your sin. And you'll see how John was there to pronounce the saving grace and the power of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 27. You'll see how his way to prepare the way of the Lord is, he didn't just preach repentance, 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 and harp on that continually. We're told here in verse 27, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And John put the Lord first. He compared his own unworthiness, the worth of Christ as a slave or a worthless servant, tying the shoes of his master. That's the position of John. I'm not worthy even to open up the buckle on his shoe. Such was his position of humility. And we need worship and gospel preaching where Christ is exalted in all. For me to live is Christ. The old preachers, they prayed that they would not get in the way of their preaching. Do you understand that? The preacher's burden, don't allow me to get in the way of the message. Don't allow me to have some root of pride, some proclamation of self, some presentation that will distract from the Savior and cause people to look at the messenger and lose sight of the Savior. These old preachers, they prayed, hide me behind the cross. I remember being in prayer meetings where you have Christians praying about the preacher of the meeting, and they would say, Lord, hide our preacher behind the cross. What a wise prayer that is. What a good prayer that men do not get carried away with men, but that they get their eyes on the Lord Jesus. Because pride is the number one enemy of evangelism. Are we learning that yet? Is that getting through yet? Pride in the pulpit, pride in the preacher, pride in the pew, pride in our hearts as we walk and talk with sinners hinders the ability to evangelize. A.W. Pink, in his commentary in John's Gospel, spoke about the name Bethabara. Now, nobody seems to know much about Bethabara. It was on the other side of Jordan, we are told, and it simply serves to identify the exact location where John the Baptist baptized. And all we know about Bethabara, that it is similar to the word Jordan, it means death. Death. And you know, to be a John the Baptist and to be a witness for Christ, we've got to die to self. That's what John's baptism was about in the River Jordan. He's calling people to die to the world, die to sin. And then he preached unto them the Lord Jesus. We must decrease that Christ must increase. Do we want to be evangelists? Do we want the Lord's church to be a light in a dark, needy country that's really just going to hell? With all the trends we see in this nation, Canada's going to hell. Canadians are going down into the pit of damnation. A rising generation does not even know the Lord, and the church is powerless. If we would be a John the Baptist, we must die to self. Die to self. And call men and women to die to sin. There's people here today and you love your sin more than you love the Lord Jesus. You love the titillation of the flesh and that little bit of pleasure for a moment. And that's the very thing that's keeping you from trusting and calling on the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. You love your sin. You love the world. You don't want to be a Christian out and out for Christ because it'll cost you the world. Let me say, any gospel that doesn't cost you the world is not the gospel. And there are churches and so-called evangelists today proclaiming messages that tell people you can have your sin and have Christ, but that is not the gospel. And so here is personal humility. Are you willing to take the place as a sinner at the feet of Jesus to be saved and then to be a witness for him? Now quickly, I come to the next point, and that is preaching humility, pointing sinners to the sufficiency of Christ. You'll notice in this passage, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God. There is humility. It's not me. It's not me you need. It's the Lord Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. And of course, in preaching the Lamb of God, he preached the sacrifice. He preached about the suffering Christ on the cross and how his blood and his sufferings and the wrath of God that fell upon Jesus is all sufficient to save you from your sin. John preached the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus as the sacrifice and atonement for sin. And if you're trying to make yourself better, make yourself good enough, you can't do it. You are corrupt and lost. You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And that's the only hope. Also, John preached Christ as the Son of God. Look at verse 34. I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, he said that after the Holy Spirit descended. Remember how the dove came down at his baptism and the Father spoke and the Spirit descended and he concluded, or at least declared, this is the Son of God. And so John proclaimed the lordship, the deity, the mighty saving power of the Lord Jesus. And that's what makes him the Savior you need. He's the Son of God. And then also John the Baptist, well, he had a ministry to disciples. Look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. That's evangelism. That's what it's all about, to bring men to follow the Lord Jesus. Therefore, John the Baptist was an effective evangelist. And we find that you have Andrew was converted, and he brought later his brother Simon Peter, and they followed Jesus. We want to be a church with a ministry, and you want to be a Christian with a testimony that will cause others to follow Jesus. If we are not that, we are nothing. If we have not the blessing of God and the humility of John the Baptist and the message of John the Baptist and the fruit of John the Baptist to lead men to follow Jesus, then what are we? Oh, he made disciples. He made disciples. That's what we're called to do. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. May we have a burden for that. May we be a humble, broken, burdened people with a passion for the lost. How that will manifest itself, we wait to see. This is now the message. Now you need to be the messenger. And let us labor together and do something for God's glory. Humility, recognizing pride as the number one enemy, confessing it, working against it, and giving Christ the glory. Surely that the Lord will bless.
I'm not sure if the general public is fully aware. In fact, I fear they are not, that the Canadian Liberal government is proceeding to introduce further expansion of the MAID program. That's medical aid in dying. And it will be included for extra and other categories of people, including the mentally ill. This week, I felt burdened about the matter, and I decided to write to the Prime Minister. And I want to read to you this open letter to Mr. Trudeau. I write this open letter to you about the grave concern held by multitudes of Canadians over your government's proposal to extend medical assistance in dying to those who are not at the end of life, including the mentally ill. The recent questionnaire to be submitted to the Department of Justice, Canada, by January 27, 2020, has highlighted the rapid pace by which MAID has been introduced and the plans of government to extend it to the most vulnerable in society, even when facing imminent death. Rather than a serious attempt to proceed with caution, seeking the true welfare of all Canadians, the questionnaire appears to be a launching pad for your government to proceed with such legislation, which has already been adopted, sadly, in the province of Quebec. The lack of publicity surrounding this questionnaire, kept within a two-week deadline, and the ambiguity of the questions reveal a lack of interest in thorough consultation with all Canadians. Would you dare make this a policy for re-election? I think not. Rather, it is perceived that this trend to broaden the scope of patients who receive medical assistance in dying is quietly being advanced with an attempt to keep it under the radar of the general public. The fears that arise from this proposed extension to MAID to those not at the end of life are real and substantial. The present use of MAID has already been open to abuse and caused fear to the elderly and division among medical personnel who are called on to provide MAID or to provide referrals. Vulnerable people who are isolated, enduring ill health, though not life-threatening, may be encouraged to choose any legal option, without which they would be of a different mind on a better day. Many people get through periods of suffering to enjoy a good quality of life, but if MAID was their choice, they and their loved ones would never know that potential outcome. Then there is the inevitable fact that over time MAID will become the accepted norm for all categories of people who will feel that they can use their own autonomy to end their life for purely subjective reasons. That is not the Canada we know nor want. Sadly, there are reports from within the medical profession that MAID has already been included as part of palliative care. All clear-thinking people know that these two should be kept completely separate. But with the usual shortage of funding, lack of facilities, shortage of staff, and the increase in the cohort of the aged, MAID and palliative care will all the more become merged into one. This is already happening, to the consternation of all who value the right to life. The whole concept of MAID is often promoted as a personal choice to die peacefully as opposed to die without dignity in intolerable suffering. That is not the case. when proper palliative care is administered, and it is not the case for those who trust in the Lord as their Saviour. There is hope for the suffering and the dying. Let me quote that what a renowned gospel minister testified of what often happens at the point of death. The power of our holy religion comes in. How calm, how resigned, sometimes how triumphant, how ecstatic is the frame of mind of the departing believer. I never heard one of them regret that he was a Christian. In time, when we sift what they have done and believed, and when they tell no lies for the naked truth comes up before them, I have heard them glory in belonging to Christ and in resting in Him. But I have never heard them regret that they did so. Our religion is not all of the future. It is not a thing of dreams concerning the world to come. It gives us present joy, present strength, present comfort, and we commend it to you most heartily. For this is our duty, to be witnesses for Christ. I ask that you and your government take a long step back from this decision and revert to the well-tested position of a medical system based on the Hippocratic value of doing no harm, and that focuses on healing while minimizing suffering, not hastening death. Yours most respectfully, Reverend Ian Gollaher, Minister of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia. Well, that's my letter to our Prime Minister, and I trust that you will pray that God might turn the tide on this matter, and that this, which is fearful to many, will not become the position across our great nation. May God turn the hearts of many to truth and righteousness in this matter. If you would like to listen to this again or to read a copy of this letter and have a downloadable printable copy, go to our website, ltbs.ca, and there you'll get the information. Just go to the news button and look for Letter to Prime Minister. Thank you for joining with us today. May the Lord encourage your heart.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.